Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, well-dressed cats, tasty goats, and attractive clans. Try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.am. I'm joined by newshound Sam Turn.
Hello.
Jess Ward.
Hi.
Plus Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Hello, guys. How are we doing this week?
Brilliant.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a solid week.
And we're recording on a Friday morning this week, which it feels really weird. The dynamics change because we usually record Thursday afternoon.
And we're usually quite hyperactive on a Thursday afternoon.
No, I feel like I'm trying to pull you up this morning. Is that right?
Yeah.
Sam's nodding.
Waking up, aren't we? It's the end of the week.
Something that might pull us up, though, Jess, is the fact that we've had two of your postcards, your many postcards from your interrailing trip.
Yeah, right? Finally got here.
So we had two last week, didn't we?
Last week we had Barcelona.
Barcelona!
Or did we have Madrid? Did we have Barcelona and Madrid?
Barcelona and Madrid, and what was the other one? Milan.
Milano, yes.
Milano, yes.
So we've got two more this week that have come in from your travels around Europe. Katie, what have you got?
I've got the Venice one. So we've got, ciao, this place has been top-notch. Much gelato, pizza and pasta has been consumed. I have seen some peculiar glasswork and some lovely glass somethings. It's blurred out. The locals are blurred out. There and me ing in campsite. Ow. So basically, there's a massive smudge that covers whatever Jess has said about the locals.
Right.
You'll never know, guys.
So I don't know.
Have you ever watched any documentaries about China or North Korea or anywhere like that? I think it's been censored.
Do
you think Venice is moving in the way of North Korea?
Do you write something maybe?
Maybe it was a bit insensitive. I don't know.
Just in big letters, Brexit means Brexit. And they got annoyed about that.
Well, it was weird actually, because when we were in Venice, one of my friends got chatted up by a guy and he was like, oh, where are you from? Where are you from? And she said, we're from the UK. It's just easier. If you go into the Isle of Man, it gets complicated. So he was like, oh, Brexit. And then he was like, how about you come and have a drink with us and we can talk Brexit? And she was like, that's going to be a long talk.
So the postcard on the front, Kate, it was a man on his gondola.
It's a man on his gondola.
Did you go on a gondola,
Jess? No, we didn't. It's a very romantic idea, but I think from what I've read, they cost like 80 euros.
80 euros?
For like two people. And I'm like,
Just for a bloke to sing just one cornetto as well.
How much is a boat at Oncombe Park these days, Sam?
I don't know. When I was working there, it was like $3.50.
Did you used to work at Oncombe Park?
I worked on the motorboat. That's my first job here.
Is that why you sometimes a bit hairy? Because you've got like...
You do have a sailor look to you.
Salty sea captains. On that bombshell. Sam, you've got the other postcard?
Yeah, this is from...
Pula. And yeah. I remember this from last week. It rained, didn't you?
Yeah, Pula. I went, and it was a massive storm that rolled in.
So give us the update on the postcard, Sam.
Zdravo?
I don't know. I just got it off Google.
Okay. I think this is from Ivan Drago.
Right. Nice
throwback.
Yeah.
I finished my great interrail adventure here in Pula. It's been a wild time of thunderstorms, a sea turtle, one mahoosive Nutella pancake, and creepy vibes from groups of men hanging around fruit places. Hope you've enjoyed the postcards, Jess.
Fruit places?
No, food places.
Oh, right. I
think he just had a moment.
I just noticed the stamp where it's like a fish that looks quite bizarre.
It's a moray eel.
Oh, well, hashtag no such thing as a fish. And it says, these boys off Ricky. So are these the boys that were hanging outside the food centre?
They were. They were just floating around.
But interesting point you make about the Nutella pancakes. They flipping love them in Croatia, don't
they? They really do.
There's like a stall every 10 yards.
Flipping.
See what I did there?
That was good.
You've got form with pancakes. So the biggest tosser in Mackled earlier in the year.
Yeah, you know, I love my pancakes, but I actually secretly don't. But I thought, you know... I thought it seems to be the local kind of dish in a way, so I might as well try it. I asked for this Nutella pancake after my pizza that I had in Pula, and I can't even explain how big. It was probably as big as a double, like, it was on the size of a dinner plate, but it was folded about four times, and then the amount of Nutella that came out was just disgusting. It was about half a jar of us, like, a small Nutella, like a medium-sized Nutella jar was in that pancake.
So that brings us up to date with Italy and Croatia. We're still missing one postcard, aren't we?
Yeah, so we're waiting for the very first one that I sent, which was from Porto in Portugal. So whether we'll get that, I have no idea.
Now, we haven't had many other postcards in the last couple of weeks, Katie, have we?
I don't know if my my mum sent one from Luton.
Oh!
She went on a little holiday to Luton this week. I don't think she did, but I did ask her nicely if she would.
So, but if you want to send some postcards in, what's our
postal address? Please send us postcards from your holidays, even if it's to Luton. Mm. It's Isle of Man News Podcast, Isle of Man Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, Isle of Man, IM15ED.
Do you think we'll have to change the name of the building when we come out of Brexit?
That's a good point, actually. I better bring that up with...
We could maybe have a naming competition.
Was once European House.
Yeah. Former European House.
Withdrawal Agreement House.
It's got a lovely ring to that, isn't it? Okay, maybe we can workshop that. Right, my bit of news from the week. Now, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. You know, I walk home for lunch and stuff like that. I was coming back from lunch, and I always walk the same way doing it, and I saw, for the first time ever, I came across a cat with a tie on. Now, I was running around the office trying to show people this because people thought I may have lost some of my marbles. But yes, it's true. There is a cat with this tie.
It looked really comfortable with himself as well.
Yeah, he was very affectionate. I couldn't get a picture. I'm saying he could be a female. It was a Manx cat.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get a picture of this cat because I thought no one's going to believe me. I'll go into work and say, guess what I've seen? And they'll be like,
gotta get evidence.
Have you been drinking it? So I took this picture. But when I tried to take the picture, it did that, you know, that cat thing where it tries to rub your leg and stuff. And I was like, plus, I'm allergic to cats, so that started freaking me out. I'm like, I'm going to be sneezing and everything. But anyway, so I got a picture of the cat, which Grace is going to put on our social media later, at our news podcast. But I just wanted to know, has anyone else seen a cat with a tie? Or
around the Douglas area?
Yeah.
Bizarre. I've never come across that.
I've never seen that cat, but I live in an opposite direction.
Mm. Sam?
My mate had this cat that had, like, a white face, and it looked like it was wearing a tuxedo. So, like, it had, like, a white patch down his stomach, but then, like, his arms and his legs were black, right. So it looked like he was walking around the tux. So she got him a little collar that had a dicky bow tie.
Aww.
It was the flea collar.
Well, this thing, so after I came back, and there was all this chat about, I've seen this cat with a tie, and people were saying, are you watching the Aristocats?
Yeah.
And I was like, no. Yeah, but I said, I Googled it, you know, cat ties, and they're a thing. You can actually buy a tie for your cat.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know how many times I've walked this place, and it's the first and only time I've seen this cat with a tie. So I went home. It was obviously the story of the week, wasn't it? I was telling everyone. I went, oh, how are you doing? Yeah, I've seen a cat with a tie. So I was talking to my stepson Hugo about it, and he was like, oh yeah, he's a bit of a legend, that cat. And I was like, you've seen him? And he's like, oh yeah, yeah. Last year he had a Balakameen tie. And I was like, what? So now I'm thinking, he's got a different tie now. It was a nice white and green tie he had on this time. He's left school. And now he's on his first year at work.
Oh, yeah, that's lovely.
So, but yeah, if anyone's... We had, you know, when we asked about the pink seagull, Jonathan came up with the goods, didn't he?
And he did.
And I believe he sent in a video this week. Did you see the video of the pink seagull?
Mm. He's back.
He's back. He sent in a video. But, so I want to... Has anyone else seen this cat? Just to save my sanity, really. This cat with a tie.
So is it in kind of like the Balakameen area?
Yes, yeah.
Because, I mean, that was his school.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So that's where he lives close. He's going to the catchment area, isn't he? So,
yeah.
He seems to be taking, like, the tie pretty well, because I think cats would find it quite annoying, because it's impractical having it waving it about on your chest.
It's quite a... have you heard of a kipper tie?
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't me trying to be funny. It's a big, sort of a big tie, but it doesn't... It does, when he's
it's
walking...
It's not got the length.
But it does, like, come down a bit. It just blew my mind.
Maybe he just does feel really special in his tie and just really rolls with it.
Yeah.
So if anyone knows of the cat, please do get in touch, preferably with pictures, and we can share it around social media. Equally, if your pet, I'm still looking for a well-dressed owl, wears the tie or maybe braces, please get in touch.
Little headband.
Yeah. So the other big news this week, wasn't it, came out of the Alaman Food Festival, and our esteemed editor, Jess.
Yeah, so Richard Butt, he kind of just entered last minute into the ice cream eating competition.
I didn't know this was a thing, so obviously I know about the hot dogs, that's been going for a couple of years, but is this a new thing?
Just introduced this year, so it's a 1.2 litre tub of different flavoured ice creams, so they've also got their like new chocolate whippy on the top.
So this is Davison's ice cream.
Davison's, yes. So Richard, he just saw it and he thought, why not? So he did it and he managed to finish his whole tub in just under 12 minutes.
Flipping heck.
Which is pretty impressive.
And was he second in the end?
He was second, so he was beaten by Sarah Jochen, who ate hers in just over 9 minutes.
I was actually chatting to one of the men at the wine cellar last night, and he had participated in the ice cream competition, and he said that the lady who won, he was like, she was amazing. Oh. She was incredible.
She was entered by her team at St. John Ambulance. So
she obviously has a rep for eating ice cream.
I think so.
Sam, would you go with the hot dog or ice cream option?
Hot dog, because I don't like certain flavours of ice cream.
Right.
I'm not going to try and say it. I can't pronounce that word. Pistachio.
Pistachio ice cream.
Like biscotti.
Okay. So, you kicked this out. Apparently, you talked about this, possibly doing this as one of your Vox Pop pieces. What was the food that people could eat loads of? You know, because everyone has something, doesn't it? What would be yours, Jess?
Well, I don't know what mine would be, but I think a fantastic idea for next year would be a chips, cheese, and gravy one.
Because it's very mushy, that, isn't it?
There's the thing that puts me off hot dogs is the dryness of the bread.
And the guys apparently dip their hot dog into water, so it just, you know, makes it a bit moist.
I think it is. You should do it dry, shouldn't you?
Or like,
you should be like
ketchup
and mustard, and that's it. Yeah. You shouldn't be allowed to put it in water.
Casey, have you got a particular favourite food?
Maybe pizza.
Pizza? Do you think you could eat that in mass?
Bit like a thin crust pizza. Like a proper Italian-style pizza.
That was my other suggestion, because Mike, who writes Island Life, he runs Black Dog Oven.
Which is delicious.
Is amazing. And I was like, oh, you should totally get involved.
Sam?
Chocolate digestives.
Oh, that's a good shout. Biscuits do get
around
well.
I think that was scratch. Like,
I smoke like 20 a day. That's not going to affect me.
Chocolate would make it a bit claggy. You know when you get chocolate clag?
You need some milk with it, I think.
Oh, that would fill you up, though.
Yeah. Mm. Tea's the ideal one for it.
Oh, yes, that's true.
A tea and biscuit challenge. Ooh,
that sounds British. It is so British. I love it.
We could be onto something.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, talking of the Isle of Man Food Festival, which, of course, is where these great feats of eating athleticism took place, is where our first story of the week comes from, Sam, and it's about the chef of the year and his dish, which was made out of goat.
Yeah, Tyler Livesley, who works for Jean-Pierre's Bistro and Ramsay, he won the title of Chef of the Year. Okay. He cooked a back saddle of Manx goat with goat's cheese, which sounds lovely.
A lot of goats,
but you can't have too much goat though.
No. Well, actually, I don't think I've ever had goat. You had goat curry on Saturday.
I went to the food festival on Saturday afternoon, and one of the things I did try was goat curry, and then I stroked the little baby goats they had there as well, fed them some hay.
Circle of life.
Yeah, exactly. And I bought some goat's cheese.
I can't stand goat's cheese or goat's milk. The smell of it is just so goaty, if that makes sense. Like you smell dairy milk and you don't smell the cow, if that makes sense. I think it's just been passed.
So goaty.
I can't describe it. It's like you're almost licking the udder.
That's too much, Jess. It's people disgusting. Might be having their dinner while they're eating this.
Sorry, but I've never tried goat meat, but everybody was singing the praises of the curry at the festival.
Yeah.
Anyway. So he beat a chap called Vladimir Dvork, I really hope I've pronounced it right, who works for Harbour Lights at the Sefton there. And he cooked, and to be honest with you, I would have picked this as a winner because I think Manx lamb in a bit of a Boris Johnson moment, is the greatest lamp in the world. It is. You can't beat Manx lamb. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Our resident New Zealand might have a bit of a...
Yeah, we're...
Lockton, Manx Lockton is better than anything else, and Manx lamb is not far behind.
You haven't lived.
Anyway, he cooked a Manx lamb with lamb shoe, potato gnocchi. Right, I've been outside trying to learn that word, and I can't pronounce
gnocchi.
It.
He was calling it gnocchi before.
Yeah, gnocchi. I think he used to play for Middlesbrough. So, potato gnocchi, and a shepherd's pie foie gras, which I think sounds absolutely lovely.
I like a shepherd's pie.
Mm, not entirely sure if it's a foie gras, but you never know.
Mm.
So, I had a question for you.
Go on.
If you were to enter Chef of the Year, what would you cook? Using Manx dishes.
Oh.
Manx dishes or Manx ingredients?
Manx ingredients, yeah.
Well, that's a good question. My staple back at university was super noodles on toast with cheese. Sadly, I could probably get the cheese and the bread, but the super noodles aren't Manx. Now, I do a nice chilli, so I could use the... But again, kidney beans, where would I source them that are Manx? That's a very good question, this. So.
I'd say kidney... you could probably be let off kidney beans, because everything else you can probably get from here.
Yeah, maybe go for a chilli. But and instead of a rice, I'd come up with something Manx to go with it.
I'd say I'd go foraging for some blackberries.
Alright.
Pipster!
And then I'd probably get some apples from somewhere. Like, I don't know. I don't think the apple orphanage do apples. They just do the juice, don't they?
Well, I'm sure that if they've got some knocking around.
Well, if they've got some, then I'll take some. And then I get some flour from the Laxey...
Flour mill.
Yeah, the mill. And then I'd make myself, either a blackberry and apple crumble or a blackberry and apple pie. I'm not sure which one.
Okay.
With a dollop of Manx cream.
That's been whipped up. Or ice cream.
Oh, yeah, well, ice cream. That's a good shout.
Yeah, get your Davison's on there.
Mm. Yeah. Casey?
I am not a very good cook. There's only, a couple of dishes I could make in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I make a good lasagna, which I can get all the ingredients here. Mm-hmm. I can get my Balakelli meats from the meat van.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get some minced meat from there. I can make my own pasta using local ingredients. And I can use Manx cheese.
Mm-hmm. Best in the world.
Exactly. So I reckon I could do that. But also I can make empanadas, which are little kind of empanadas. South American style pasties. But my favourite ones were in a restaurant in Buenos Aires that I used to eat. And they would be like a spicy lamb empanada. So I could use Manx lamb for that.
And you've got your veggies that you can add from Bri Rad.
Sam's laid down the challenge. I think we should cook them all. And then we could have a taste off, maybe every Friday or something like that.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm up for that. Are we all going to do it?
Advancing.
Jess goes foraging.
You can get foraging for
your
berries.
I think they're out at the moment, so yeah.
You do it, and then we take pictures and do a bit of a taste test amongst our esteemed colleagues. So you
who will have none of them listen to the podcast, so none of them will know why we're suddenly bringing them food on Fridays.
I'm up for that. All right, let's make it happen then.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, Jess, next story. Now, you're going to have to help me with this. Now, this is obviously about the Department of Economic Development's latest strategy to try and attract people to Isle of Man.
So it's Visit Island.
Yeah, Visit Isle of Man. That campaign.
And so they've introduced a new campaign, and it's called Extraordinary Story.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of it, they kind of... are getting visitors to pick a clan that they've made. And the clans are discoverer, explorer, artisan, believer, mover, or adventurer. So those kind of have their separate programs. So for instance, pick one, Katie.
Explorer.
Explorer, okay. So that
Dora.
Means...
yes.
That means you'll have guided tours around the ancient sites, so the castles and also the Gaiety Theatre. So that's a path that they can choose if they want to do that.
Okay.
Somebody else pick another.
Discoverer.
Discoverer. Okay, so that is kind of looking around different tracks. So you can go on beach tours or pony trekking is one.
What about Believer?
Believer. Oh, okay. So
is that your favourite?
I mean, I like the sound of it. I'm a believer. I want to get on board with that.
Oh, face.
So that is more looking at the mythical side of the Isle of Man, and so that would entail like trips down glens to see the wizard sculptures.
Like in Groudle.
Yeah, or the fairy home. So there's one in Groudle also, or there's another one I can't remember where. But those would be looking at more the kind of fairy tales.
Okay, so the other one's Artisan.
Artisan is more looking at eateries, friendly eateries, they say. So this is also including...
You could probably hear Sam's eyes rolling.
That also includes like a trip to a kippy yard, that sort of thing, or maybe like foraging vintners.
Okay, right. And mover, is that where you just move some furniture?
Is that walking trails?
Well, exactly. I find like these names are a little bit blasé, but this one is Heritage Railways.
Sam, this is yours,
because you also get a trip up to Joby Transport Museum.
So you sort of like you say, well, I might come to the Isle of Man, and then you're pigeonholing yourself in one of these categories. And then do they then suggest what to do? If you that you think yourself as a mover, do they say, well, this is an itinerary that you can maybe do that while you're in the Isle of Man? Come and look at our railways or wizards.
That's one way to get people
cats
over.
Cats with ties.
I'm actually not too sure on those details, but it just says that there are guided tours kind of available for that. So whether or not they pick specifically or it's like a package deal in a way and you do all of those things. I'm not on...
Because I love it, especially if I'm going somewhere like a city break and I'm only there for 4 days and you've got like so much to cram in. I love it when it's like... itineraries for 4 days in Athens, and you're like, I'll pick my favourite things from there.
Yeah, because you waste time kind of planning everything. You want somebody else to do the planning.
Yeah,
it's the world we live in.
But I personally, I mean, the idea, I get the idea, but I find it's some of the, like, for instance, adventurer, explorer, and discoverer, they're quite similar, so I find them quite hard to distinguish, or, you know, they don't kind of stand out as having their own branding, as we were talking about last week.
Well, there's more on that in the Indie this week, isn't it? And of course, the story before about the goat dish was, of course, in Indie. It's actually on page 9 and 10, so you don't even have to go that far.
Just a little flick of the page.
Right, this week's sports story. Now, Jess, you did the parish walk this year, last year?
Last year?
No, did you see at the weekend it was the end-to-end walk? It's Little Brother, if you will. It's where the people, they start at the Point of Air and finish down at the Calf of Man.
Sound,
I think it's a mere 40 miles rather than the full 83.
I think I can't remember how long I did, but I got to Derby and that was killer.
So you're probably not too far away from that distance.
Yeah.
Obviously, so you go down the west coast of the Isle of Man, you go through Peel, down Dalby. You're taking in much of the parish walk course, but in a sort of backwards direction. But yes, Richard Gerrard, the king of the Manx roads, I'm going to say. He won his seventh end-to-end title of the weekend. But there was a women's record. Hannah Hunter smashed the women's record, taking a massive chunk off that as she finished second to Richard overall. End-to-end walk, do you not fancy it's a bit short? Do you fancy it next year?
Well, I've done the parish... Well, I've attempted the parish walk twice, and walking's just not for me. I think I did a half marathon this year, and I think I'd rather do that, because the pain
is kind of over and done with.
Yeah, exactly, where you're walking and you're just concentrating. Like, there comes a point where you're just concentrating on it, I do. But, yeah, I quite like just moving fast. I mean, if you've seen my driving, you'd know that. I saw some of them, because I was... I went to Braddock Glen for a nice carvery, and I saw some
Someone's
of them walking
well.
Around.
You're eating your carvery, watching the walkers. Yeah,
but the weather was awful for it. I thought, like, it just wasn't ideal.
It was alright, Sunday, wasn't it? I can't remember.
It was a Sunday. Yeah. It was a bit drizzly and a bit cold.
But maybe that works for them.
Interesting fact: most of the finishers, I think, most of the field are women these days. So it's obviously very popular. Among the fairer sex.
I love our walking.
But there's more on that in both of our paid for titles this week, the Isle of Man Examiner and Manx Independent, plus tons of pictures from Dave, Dynamic Dave Neal. So there you go.
Legend.
Right, it's time to step into the Isle of Man newspaper's DeLorean once again and take our look back at the front page of one of our predecessors from 1955 this time, Sam. It's the Isle of Man Weekly Times of that week, the Friday, September 23rd. And it's a belter. There's tons of stuff on the front of this one, isn't there?
Yeah, we had work at Foxtel Mines again, which is a headline which doesn't make sense at the same time. But there we go. We had Ireland Mineral Wealth, a new Manx company was founded. A new marketing scheme for milk. You could furnish with confidence your living room. A man who ran from London to Brighton. There was 500,000 visitors.
I saw that.
In 4 months.
To the Isle of Man. That's unreal, isn't it?
That's impressive.
Yeah.
There's Finlow Farragher Finks. This is the thing down the side.
Brilliant headline.
Yeah. It's the... it appears to be some sort of like Private Eye style column where they're writing it as people talk, I suppose, sort of thing. And it's basically a bit of a taking the mick out of what was going on in the island at the time, which I think was quite funny.
Mm.
You got the hero himself there, Jeff Duke, may race for Britain next year.
Yeah, he's I've read that story.
He was really popular, wasn't he?
He was massive, but he might ride for a British motorcycle company rather than Honda or whoever. And there was still the two bits. There was another thing about road racing. Did you see that the Isle of Wight had suggested it might want its own road race?
So it has the music festival, and then it wanted our road races.
As well, I think it wanted a road race. Don't know if it was never going to get the TTKT. You know, we would never let that go. Yeah. TT means TT. But as we know, that didn't happen. Yeah. And of course, there was some sad news this week. Did you see that about the poor man that died during a golf match? Witnessed by the mayor was the sub-headline. But it was the annual match between Rowney and House Drake, which is of course King Edward Bay, and Mr. Harold Swan of Spaldrick collapsed and died. One of four players was Mayor of Douglas Councillor R. Fletcher Quayle. The others were Messrs. W.R. Bates, H.B. Jackson and Dr. Arthur Kelly. He was called, but unfortunately it was too late.
I like the way that they, like, for now, I mean, I write inquests, so I would say pronounced dead, because, you know, you just got to be, like, to the point. But here it says pronounced life extinct.
Yes, it's a very different terminology, isn't it?
Yeah. But later on it says that the match was called off and in the clubhouse, so I'm assuming this, like, happened straight away, the clubhouse members stood for a minute in silent tribute to the deceased's memory.
Mm.
So I was like,
nice
right
touch.
Away. But for me, the heart of this one page is the cartoon.
One of Dusty's.
Yeah, No Harvest Moon, which I assume is some sort of play on Harvest Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a happy-looking cow as a fat farmer smokes a cigar and drives around on his combine harvester.
With oats, wheat and barley behind him.
Mm.
I presume it's something to do with the new marketing scheme for milk, but maybe I'm wrong. But there you go. Casey, your favourite advert this
week?
Well,
have you seen about the girl analyst? Yeah. I think the two females in the room have noticed this.
Highlighted that. I was getting
Jess
ready
has
to...
it highlighted.
I did read this. 16-year-old Valerie Bannock, who's was working... This was all to do with the... Was this still the Foxdale Mine, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it's quite a big piece. So she's... So basically, this is the daughter of Mr. Bannock, who has opened the mine. But I found it really interesting in the first bit, where it says, newcomer to the start at the main office, beside the plant, is Mr. Bannock's pretty 16-year-old daughter, Valerie. So that was interesting. But later on it says that she's really interested in research and analysis of metals, and so she's continuing to study volumetric chemistry at night school. So she seems like she's just
say,
really
it is not every girl who has the satisfaction of doing a worthwhile job in her own laboratory.
Yeah.
But she hopes to get an assistant eventually. So it's pretty cool.
Also working at the mine was a 70-year-old who used to work in Laxey Mine and has gone back on the tools because he loves working in a mine, which is, when you think...
Dedication?
Yeah, but you went down Laxey Mines
a
few weeks ago.
Say...
Would you be at the age of 70 thinking, oh, I'm missing being downstairs? I did this last time, didn't I?
Downstairs.
I'm being downstairs in all this dark and damp, and I need to get back down. My lungs have only just cleared up.
I don't know, because, I mean, he describes it. He said that back then they had, like, hand drills, a hammer, and had a candlestick to a lump of clay on top of the helmet.
So he even says a shaft collapsed.
Collapsed, yeah, and he still wants to go back.
What a man.
Missed the thrill.
So that was Mr. Fred Crebin of Shore Road, Laxey. Right, favourite advert, quickly, Kate?
wedding rings. Your heart's desire, the ring of your dreams.
That's amazing.
I love the also on the opposite side. Furnish with confidence. You should never furnish when you're not confident.
No, it won't end well, will it?
And it was an advert for Manx Ices, Superior Cream Ices. And I think the standard Sefton's marketing budget back in the day, they were on every front page, weren't they?
They were.
Pretty much we've seen in the 50s. So that was the front page of the Ironman Weekly Times in September 1955.
Okay, so last week we had Smeggle. So that actually, you kind of guessed body parts? Was that someone said a body part and I said, I think it is. Which I did know what the body part was, I just couldn't remember if that was its meaning. But it meant chin.
Oh. So Jimmy Hill had a big Smeggle. Is Jimmy Hill had a big chin?
Smeggle.
Yeah.
I could have done had in Manx as well. Maybe we can translate that sentence.
If your main goal in Manx is to find, comment on the size of people's chins.
Like, I think that's fair, don't you?
Take it on the Smeggle.
So this week's Manx Word of the Week. Are you going to have a crack at this one? A butcher of languages.
You heard this before. I played the audio
before
and you were straight away like trying to repeat.
Because I know I'd mess it up. Okay, I'm gonna say it's imbacken.
Mm.
Imbacken?
For our Bavarian listeners.
Imbacken.
Sounds good. Yeah. Right.
More of a ch
to it. But it says, I put in my
Tasting notes.
I put Bach, like the composer.
Mm.
I thought that was clever.
That is clever. Mm. So we'll hear now the vulture cannons.
Hey, wait a minute. You're gonna attempt it.
I've said it. I slipped it in. I slid it into my DMs just then. I'm going to hear how the culture vannon guys do, not the vulture cannons. They sound like an amazing, like maybe a punk rock band, doesn't it?
Yeah,
the Vulture Cannons.
They were nominated for the Mercury Music Award last night.
Heard it here first. So let's hear how the culture vannon guys say it properly.
Imbacken.
Well, that was a good effort, Sam. I thought you were probably the closest there.
It's not often that happens.
No, that was good.
The Germans really helped in this situation.
So I'm not going to tell you how I arrived at this, but me and Katie have sort of come up with a slightly new feature this week. Now, it's along the lines of Manx Word of the Week.
Yes.
I can already, like, producer Emma will be listening to this, who's on a holiday at the moment, and be freaking out because we haven't run this past her, have we,
yeah,
Katie?
She will panic when she hears this. If she listens at all, she'll panic.
Yeah, so we have come up with a thing along the Manx theme, and it's called Anglo-Manx. We found this amazing webpage this week called Anglo-Manx Vocab. So it's all about sort of turns of phrases that Manx people used in the 1920s and 30s. And it's almost like slang, isn't it?
So a lot of it is connected to farming, agriculture, fishing.
Yeah. But there are some absolute pearlers on there, isn't there?
There's some that we definitely need to bring back.
Yeah. So okay, we're going to drip feed a few in every week and see what you think. So Katie's got the first two off the rank, haven't you?
Yeah. So two of them that really stuck out, like jumped out from the B section of this website were if someone's a reprobate.
Yep.
Then you call them a bad stick. So you had your bad sticks outside the food places in Pula.
Yeah. And I think that maybe in court reports we could say, you know, X is a bad stick. So the next one, which is even better.
It's to be on the bag.
Right.
Be on the bag.
Yeah. Might have different connotation these days, but Katie?
It's to gossip.
Yes. There you go. So you could be like,
okay.
Oh.
So if you're like, you know,
chatting.
So like
chatting
with gas bag. Gas bag in a way has a connection.
Yeah. Beyond the bag?
Yeah. Have another gossip.
Mm. So we're gonna reveal a few more of these every week after Manx Word of the Week. And obviously we're not gonna detract from that segment, but we feel it's just enhancing.
I absolutely love it.
So your task now is to try and get them into a conversation this week.
Okay, so a bad stick and be on the bag.
Yeah. Jess, what's coming up this week?
Yeah, so I'm hoping, I mean, I've got, like, my fingers crossed, that I get to write up about this guy who's been moving rocks on North Barul into the shape of a triskelion, a three-legged man.
I can't wait to read this.
Yeah, so, I mean, his plan, he's apparently, I mean, I'm going to find out, he's moved all the rocks and it's pretty big, I don't know how big exactly, but big enough so that when he well, he hopes to paint it white. It'll be seen by people in Ramsey.
Wowzers. Oh, right, okay. Yeah. So that's very interesting. So that'll be in the Examiner?
Fingers crossed, yes.
Fingers crossed in the Examiner. Casey, now, you've got a very special appointment this afternoon, haven't you?
I'm wearing my special dress today.
I was going to comment. You look very smart today.
She's looking good.
Yeah, because I am going to meet the winner from the Picture Your Pet competition today.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Oh,
I can't
wait. That's
going to
be the best job ever.
I know.
You can have your picture taken with them.
I'm getting my photo taken with the winner.
Have we announced the winner?
Not yet. It will be announced in the paper. But the winner does know who they are.
Right, but we won't, in case people have been still waiting out.
Yeah, so you can just be guessing. You don't know yet if it's a cat or a dog
or
a budgie. There was a budgie called Dave.
There was a lizard too.
It was a lizard.
What do you call Dave? That's amazing. Sam, much coming up?
Oh, loads.
You always seem to have loads, really. Yeah. You've been in and out of planning inquiries and all sorts this week.
Do you know, I actually had a nightmare that I was in front of that planning inquiry. I spent so long there. I had this nightmare that I was for some reason, I was in charge of the development and it was going to demolish the entire Vancombe Park and I was going to put up 350 houses. And it was me having a row with the Cabinet Office to why I can't do it. And I was just like, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning just like, I need to start doing other things with my life.
To be fair, like, you have really picked up a lot of interest out of that. Like, that is your field at the moment. Why?
Don't get me on about fields. I can tell you a lot about green fields.
But why is it?
Because this is, as a document, this is going to drive the MM4 for the next 10 to 15 years, especially the East. And if we don't know what the population is, and we don't know what the population is going to be, and we're going to press ahead with building 2,500 homes... I mean, we've seen it this week. We've seen a giant company like PokerStars making cuts across the island. Mm. And I just look at it and say, with Brexit and all the uncertainty that goes with it, this is a document which is going to say where we can build houses, how many houses we're going to need. And it's a very important thing going on in the background of Manx life at the minute. And, you know, I also agree that a lot of places shouldn't have houses built on them because we shouldn't be going around building the countryside when we've got a load of places, especially across Douglas, that have just been sat empty for years and we could have built there.
So you can find your musings on this
in every paper going. It's everywhere. The Examiner, The Independent, The Courier, The Examiner again next week because Newtown's being adjourned till October.
So if someone wants to catch up on the entire saga, they can go to iomtoday.co.im and click on Digital Editions and retrace it all.
Oh, yeah. We've got maps and everything.
I think for maybe next time there's a massive planning inquiry like this, we should do pictures, your picture bylines, and you could look more and more dishevelled and stressed as the inquiry goes on.
You laugh, but the area plan for the east and for the north and west of the island, which is going to cover about half the island in one plan, is starting to be put together. So I'm just going to say goodbye to the east and hello to the west.
The nightmares.
You like David
continue.
Hasselhoff?
Yeah.
That's good.
Right, that's about it for this week. Thanks for listening. Remember, if you want to get in touch throughout the week, please do. We're on the Instagram and, of course, on the Twitters at IOM News Podcast. Until next week.
Bye for now.